You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, a resource to help you take control of your health. We offer a balanced, objective analysis of all your health, wellness, and aging options, both conventional and alternative. Now you can take your engagement to the next level by joining FullScript. FullScript is my online dispensing platform that only offers curated, professional-grade supplement brands that I know and trust. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for more information and to start your free FullScript account. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site, it's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals, including my custom targeted protocols that combine the products I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. It's all at DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mutin. Happy New Year to you all. I'm wishing you good health and happiness and joy and less stress and better sleep and more vitamin D and good food and all of that for 2025. I welcome your questions. Your topics of interest, you can email me to questions@drhoffman.net. That is questions@drhoffman.net. I have a question actually from Rita. Rita writes, "Dear Layla, we're constantly reading about what we shouldn't eat. Please offer some ideas for breakfast. For example, the protein and fat you mentioned, especially for people on the run. I like cottage cheese. Is 4% fat okay? And bananas and coffee with no sugar. I gave up artificial sweeteners, but tough giving up. No sugar in my coffee. Any other meal suggestions for breakfast, Rita?" Thank you, Rita. And listen, one of the important things about the first meal of the day, whether it's breakfast, whether it's brunch, if you're intermittent fasting, it's probably more like a brunch, but that first meal of the day offers you the opportunity to either stabilize your blood sugar, which is desirable, or destabilize it. So that first meal, in a recent article, I wrote about that first meal, because of blood sugar variability, you want that to be a protein and fat bomb, because that sets up the best scenario for keeping your blood sugar stable with regard to having it been stable all night long in our sleep. That's when our blood sugar is stabilizing for the most part. And it's a good idea to do it that way. And just to remind everyone on what I wrote about recently about blood sugar variability, it was a question from somebody who was using a continuous glucose monitor, a CGM, and they noticed that their readings differ from day to day eating the same food or food item, and what gives? Well, and I answered with, what did you eat before the meal? Was it your first meal of the day? Did it come later? How much fat or other protein was included with that meal? How did you sleep the night before? You know, the other foods that you eat with that baked potato was the question, sweet baked potato. Did you have a steak with that, a piece of fish? Was it something lean? Was it something fatty? Did you put anything on the potato? All of this has to do with how it will impact blood sugar. And one of the things that I really stress to all of you is make sure that your first meal of the day is a protein and fat bomb. That's really what you want. Rita's asking about what else to eat. Some ideas? Certainly, you can have some kind of, if many of you are looking for a protein shake, go ahead and do that. But I would add also, make sure that the liquid that you use is unsweetened. Water would be preferable, and make sure the protein itself is not sweetened, right? You could add to that a tablespoon or two of coconut oil, or maybe some almond butter or macadamia nut butter, or both, right? You could do things like that. Avocado instead of a banana, and you could whiz that up in your blender and have that. And yes, Rita, you were asking about 4% cottage cheese. If you're eating dairy, if you're able to eat dairy, yeah, you want the full-fat cottage cheese, the so-called California style. If you're looking for something on the go, that could be something. That could be quick because you don't have to prepare it. And having a banana, coffee with no sugar, a medium banana is about 27 grams of carbohydrates right there. Bang. Kudos to you for not putting any sugar in your coffee or artificial sweeteners. You don't want any of those. And for you coffee drinkers, say you can't drink your coffee without sugar, you don't really enjoy coffee. If you need to add something to it to change its flavor to your liking, then you don't like coffee. Stop drinking it. But I like the buzz. Well, don't make it so strong that now you've made it bitter, and now you need to add something to take the edge off that bitterness, like a sweetener. You don't want to do that. Don't make it as strong. All right. Other things you can have for breakfast. Hard-boiled eggs. Always make sure to have some in the refrigerator. You could have a handful of nuts and seeds when you get up in the morning. Nothing says you can't have a handful of roasted is better. Roasted is better. Raw nuts naturally contain trypsin inhibitors. These are substances that actually inhibit your own digestive juices. Those nuts don't want you to be able to digest them. They want you to be able to poop them out so that they can grow and propagate elsewhere. They want to live and continue and have progeny. That's what we're talking about. So roast the nuts. It helps to deactivate many of the trypsin inhibitors so they are more easily digestible. This is important. Easily digestible is what you're going after. Otherwise, if you eat raw nuts and you happen to suffer with any constipation or any acid reflux, heartburn, GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, raw nuts are not your friend. I promise. Stop eating them now. Stop. And I, for those of you with constipation or reflux, I would say stop eating nuts for the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then when you reintroduce them, only have them roasted. And see how you do there. Other breakfast options, I mentioned the hard-boiled eggs. Don't forget you could do things with those hard-boiled eggs like make egg salad. I love making like a curried egg salad that I simply eat with a fork or a spoon, right? Get good quality mayonnaise. You don't want the soybean oil. You want the avocado oil mayonnaise or maybe a flax oil mayonnaise, something like that. Soybean oil is very pro-inflammatory, very, very not good for us. Many of these vegetable oils, unfortunately. So they're not great for us. You could get up in the morning and have your leftovers from lunch or dinner the night before. Many of you who listen to this podcast have already heard me say, when I have leftover salmon that I made for dinner the night before, I love to eat for breakfast the next morning, usually on a bed of greens, maybe with some sliced avocado. You know, I might drop a few capers on it, maybe chop some red onion or scallion, some dill weed, that is, fresh lemon juice. Delicious. That is a beautiful breakfast. And that's something you could have in a jiffy because it's a leftover from the day before. Other meal suggestions, the things to take on the go are the portable things, like I said, the roasted nuts and seeds. You could make your protein shake in the blender, put it in your thermos. You could go out the door with that, right? You could do something like that. And any other ideas are, you get up in the morning. We can't always eat eggs for breakfast because that'll get boring,
right?
So maybe you could have the accompaniments with those eggs without the eggs, like eggs and sausage. Yeah, sausage. You could have sausage with some greens that you prepared in advance or cook them in the morning if you wish, or with peppers and onions if you're enjoying that. You could get up in the morning and have a can of sardines or even low mercury tuna. That's a nice option with maybe some chopped onions, some cucumber. The sardines are often nice on cucumber rounds with also some chopped onion, maybe some, add some mustard to your sardines if you're finding them a little funky or something. You want to eat sardines, but you're not a huge fan. That would be a way to prepare it with a little mustard and some chopped onion. Those cucumber rounds are your cracker. Things like that for breakfast. You could have the cottage cheese, Rita. You know, you could have about 4 ounces of cottage cheese in a cup. Be sure to chop some roasted walnuts, or maybe you'll have some pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds. You could throw in some berries if you wish. Don't overdo the fruit, especially if it's for breakfast. These are things you can do. Also, for those of you having dairy who are having yogurt, make sure that yogurt is full fat. But because yogurt has more carbs than the cottage cheese, you may find that when you eat yogurt for breakfast, you're hungry sooner for lunch than you would normally be if you had otherwise had an omelet or gotten up and eaten some egg salad or sardines or, you know, hard-boiled egg or any leftover protein, the sausage with the vegetables. You've had steak and eggs for brunch, right? Why not eat the steak? Breakfast. Why not? You're having smoked salmon. You don't need to put that on a bagel. Put it on a bed of greens. And if you're having dairy, maybe a thin layer of some cream cheese on that would be nice, or even some goat cheese with that. Or some horseradish cream. Ooh, that's nice.
Wow.
Horseradish cream. Horseradish added into sour cream if you were doing that with your smoked salmon. Right? Put that on some sliced avocado. You can get up in the morning and eat an avocado. Salt it, put some fresh lime juice on it. Eat it with a spoon. That's the best fruit to eat if you're having fruit in the morning. So there are many things you could do for breakfast. Get up 5 minutes earlier so you can prepare your breakfast if you didn't plan ahead and have leftovers. There are a lot of things you could do for breakfast that way. And after doing this for several days of having a real protein and fat only breakfast, you will find that your hunger really starts to normalize because your blood sugar is being more stable for most of the day. When we start our day with a carbohydrate-rich breakfast, whether it's cereal, whether it's oatmeal, whether it's a high-fiber cereal, sorry, fiber is not enough. You're still eating all those carbohydrates that go with it. You may still be destabilizing your blood sugar, but when we hit with the protein and fat bong, all the better. No sweeteners, very little fruit, if any. And the only fruit to go with in the morning is really avocado. You know, you might eat a few berries, but not on an empty stomach. Eat your cottage cheese first. Make sure the berries are either on the bottom or eaten last or something like that. Yes, it does make a difference to have the protein and fat in your belly first before you eat the carbohydrate, before you eat the fruit, because it tempers the absorption of the sugar in the fruit. Now, something else I want to bring to your attention. Rita, thank you for your question. Drink your coffee black, everybody. That's what to do. I also want to remind you that in cultures across the globe, they're not all carby breakfasts. Some get up in the morning and eat fish stew. In Vietnam, they eat pho, which is a beautiful stew made with either meats or fish. I know there's noodles in there, but you don't have to eat the noodles. You can make it without noodles. You could have a vegetable soup in the morning. You could have a stew in the morning with some type of protein and vegetables. It could be chicken. It could be fish. It could be beef. It could be lamb. It could be anything. It could be seafood. You could have a seafood soup in the morning. You could have black bean soup in the morning, maybe some lentil soup in the morning. You could have a bowl of chili in the morning. Why not? Why not? Have a bowl of something hot in the morning. It's a beautiful way to start the day. Something here from Women's Wellness Innovision. A keto diet and supplements may restart stalled menstruation. Operating on ketosis, where you're burning primarily fat for energy, and the byproducts of burning fat are ketones, can help put irregular menstrual cycles back on schedule or even restart a period that appears to have stalled for good. It is true. This is how we treat polycystic, PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome. Women with PCOS often have regular periods. Women on low-fat diets did not appear to report any change to their periods. They actually did a study comparing weight loss results on a low-fat and a ketogenic diet, right? And those, and these were all premenopausal participants, obviously, who achieved nutritional ketosis reported at least one change in their menstrual frequency and intensity, or both, during the intervention. There were six women who hadn't had a period in a year who felt like maybe they were entering perimenopause or their cycles were over, and their periods actually restarted on the ketogenic diet. And the scientists say our hypothesis, after seeing these results, is that the presence of ketones may help regulate women's health in regard to the endocrine, cognitive, and metabolic influences. It is absolutely true. And this study was recently published in PLOS-1. And Jeff Volek was a member also who's done a lot of work on ketogenic diets. He was a senior author of the paper and professor of human sciences at Ohio State. He's been studying the health effects of very low-carb, high-fat ketogenic diets for over 25 years. I've heard of Jeff Volek back in the day when I worked with Dr. Atkins. So it is true that, and I've seen it firsthand experience with my patients who had metabolic abnormalities. Either they had full-on PCOS, or they were moving towards PCOS. They were already having irregular periods, acne, higher androgens, all of the above, hirsutism, which is bodily facial hair overgrowth, like hair growing on the chin. It's not supposed to be growing there. These are all because of metabolic abnormalities. And when we put them on a ketogenic diet, everything changes. It all gets fixed, including the polycystic ovary syndrome, the polycystic ovarian syndrome. So it's very important to eat the right way so that you are metabolically healthy. Again, many of our chronic illnesses are metabolic abnormalities, and they are often fixed with changes in diet alone. PCOS is a metabolic abnormality. Hyperinsulinism, prediabetes, Syndrome X or metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes. These are all metabolic abnormalities. Alzheimer's is also caused by a metabolic abnormality. It's type 3 diabetes of the brain. It's insulin resistance of the brain. Ketogenic diet is helpful. It is the way humans have been adapted to eat. And fat is our primary fuel. Some of the scientific research still says Oh, it's a backup fuel. It's not really a backup fuel. It is the primary fuel. It is the primary fuel of which, on which, you will be metabolically healthy. That is the entire point. A lot of women who are having irregular periods, and of course this leads to fertility problems, we had never had such a high incidence of fertility as we have at this time in human history. So much of this has to do with metabolic abnormalities. Once we fix them, women become fertile once again. It's a wonderful thing to watch and see. I've had a couple of case studies with women where their periods disappeared, mostly due to PCOS. We get them back on track, they start menstruating, they become pregnant. It's wonderful and so gratifying to see that they're reaching their goal of becoming parents, of having healthy pregnancies, of having healthy children. It is all possible. We need to be eating in the right way. It really is that simple. And that starts with all of these breakfast ideas I've mentioned to you here. So get started now. Get started now. It's a new year. And I'm always wishing you good health. Thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In. This is Intelligent Medicine.
I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover intelligent medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news, and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.
This is Layla Mutin, registered dietitian nutritionist. I maintain a private practice and see patients regularly. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone and telehealth consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.